Good morning, everybody. We're in Zapata and it's a beautiful day. It's 74 degrees. It's a great day for the outreach. We're on our way to our first home that we always stop. It's kind of our first stop, but before we get there, I just wanted to say thank you to everyone that donated into this outreach. We just picked up 60 turkeys. They're about 15 pounds a piece. They're all in Caleb's vehicle. So we got some weight on his vehicle. In our truck, we got, I think we have about 100 blankets. We have 100 rubber balls. We were able to get like basketballs, soccer balls, footballs, and volleyballs. So the kids here just love it when we hand out balls to them. So, and then we have about 100, maybe close to 200 toys, wrapped toys, and also we have a bunch of stuffed animals and dolls and things that aren't wrapped. So we're so excited and we're just so thankful for all you that donated. Me and my emotions. But we're getting ready. I'm gonna maybe turn this around and you can just see where we're kind of driving right now, if I know how to do this. I just talked to Jeremy and he was gonna put this on United Team. So we just want to thank United Team. This is our 10th year doing this, so we're so excited. I'll probably go on and off here, but right now I'm gonna try to turn this around. You can kind of see where we're driving here. Does that work? Okay, there's Jim. Say good morning, Jim.
Morning.
We have just an absolutely beautiful day. It's 74. I'm rubbing it into you poor guys in Minnesota, but I hear your weather's pretty nice too. This family that we're going to, we've known for 15 years. Some of the first kids that we helped and had in our Sunday school when we were here, and now some of them are already in college and grown up, but we always get to, I have them on my Facebook page, so I can always let them know that we're on our way, and there they are. They're all waiting for us. That's too excited. So we gotta kind of park here so Caleb and everybody can. Here's kind of the neighborhood we're in. So I'm going to get out and maybe we can get Caleb and Shelly to say hi too. Okay, trying to maneuver around. We have three vehicles, so. But there's Caleb with all the turkeys. Got my granddaughters helping. They're excited to help pass out toys. And there they are. There's all our little children. Hey, guys!
Hi.
How are you?
I'm going to call me.
You're going to go get some more? How many kids you got here? Lots of kids? Yeah. Elizabeth and Naomi here?
Yeah.
Okay. How are you? What's your name? You have a name? Hi, guys. Oh my goodness, how many? Hello. I got this going on live. Hello. So, I'm going to go right now. I got stuff for you guys. We're live right now. Caleb, you want to say hi?
Hi.
Alessandra, you want to say hi?
We're live on Facebook.
There you guys go. Hey, Jada, want to say hi? Say hi to everybody. They miss your pretty smile.
Say hi. Stop by and the boy, they were taking off and the boy jumped out. I was just breaking down some turkey boxes and he was just so appreciative and talking about how his mom had seen us doing it every year and how much of a blessing that we've been to in their lives. And to, you know, some people that we haven't even really connected too much with, but we're leaving an impression in their lives. Thank everybody for your support and help, so that we can go out and affect these people's lives here in Zapata.
Hallelujah. As you saw in that picture, my wife had a prophetic word spoken over her life about 20 years ago. Pastor Ballinger said that you're supposed to go to Africa and rock the babies. Well, when Steve was here a year ago, my wife sat down at the table with him, and she was telling him about her prophetic word. And she said, "And I'm coming to Africa." Well, being the dutiful husband that I said that I am, I said, "You're not going by yourself. I'm going with you." Africa was probably the farthest place from where I would really want to go.
Come on, Dave.
Truthfully, because in 1972, I graduated from high school. We went to college, and we went to a conference in Urbana, Illinois. And at that conference, God put us on our hearts that we would become candidates for Sudan Interior Missions. And so that would have been in 1974. Well, I had graduated from college. I had taught 1 year, and I had just been let go from college, or from the high school where I was at. And so I said, "Okay, God, you know, here we go." But I couldn't get into Bible school. They would not accept me, and I'd have no clue, not even Oak Hills. I don't know there, but you know what? God knew, because Sudan Interior Missions required 1 year of Bible, and if we would have gone through that year, and the following year we had been in the Sudan, and that was the year when there was like 250 missionaries that were murdered or slaughtered in the Sudan. So God knows what he's doing. You know, 30 years later, we're in Africa, and we left our hearts there. We connected with the people, and we're going back. We're spending a year raising money to dig a well as a living memorial for my wife and I. So that's what we're going to be doing. My relatives, when we were visiting them for Christmas, said they wanted to go back to their roots in Germany and Russia, and I said, you know, that's great, and I'd like to go along, but I'm putting my money elsewhere. And so you'll probably hear something about Linda's well on our webpage. And so that's really what we're going to be focusing on this year is purchasing a well. Each well that they dig costs anywhere from $600 to $1,000. So that's our mission. Mr. Tom?
I guess I'm going next. I just wanted to share, I guess, quick. I was in Africa as well, just in South Africa rather than Uganda. It was really a life-changing deal for me. I think anytime you go someplace, it always is life-changing. But I've been there multiple times, but just this trip, really connecting with an associate pastor over in South Africa. It's really almost kind of, I guess, you could say kind of a kindred spirit. Me and him are both really the same. You know, we both were bigger guys, and we both like food, enjoy food. and we both, you know, we enjoy laughing. We both have senses of humor and stuff. So, I mean, he's like me, just, you know, the South African version of me and everything. But I really connected with him, and it was kind of a stepping out type thing, and we were supposed to be going to Israel, J.P., Paul, and I, and we were actually looking at tickets when I was in South Africa the first time in September, and I had kind of checked in the morning, and the prices were, $1,800, $1,900 to go round trip. It's like, oh, that's a little expensive. Well, then I went and looked later in the afternoon, and it jumped up to $2,800. I was like, well, I really want to go, but not for that price. but at the same time, it's kind of, it's time we spent there. It just, the connection that we had, and they really felt that I was supposed to come and help them out, be a part of the ministry team for their men's camp that they have. Which was in November, and I was kind of, at first I was like, I don't know if I want to do that. You know, it's a lot of money, again, not $2,800, a lot, but, a decent amount. And it was just going to be for a quick weekend, I'd fly in on a Thursday, be flying back out on a Monday again. And so I was kind of fighting it, and I was like, I don't really know if I want to do that or not. But I was just kind of, a few nights laying in bed, just kind of praying, and just like more and more, I kind of felt God was saying, like, yeah, you need to do this. And, JP, the good friend that he is, he was coaxing me along too. He's like, you need to do this, man. And so it was really a different thing for me just to go and actually be going someplace by myself and not having JP. Of course, I knew the guys there and everything, but just in the course of being able to share with the guys, there was a camp, and they have it's about 500 or 600 guys that were there, and just all men and everything. And it was just amazing to be part of the team there, to be able to minister to the guys there, and just to see, the difference that a guy from northwestern Minnesota is like, what? Why am I here? What do I have to offer? And it's like, God doesn't look at what's on the outside. He doesn't look at your worldly qualifications. He sees your heart and your willingness. And at first I wasn't willing to go, but then, God kind of worked on me. And God willing, we're going to have those guys, a group of them over here this next year, this summer sometime, to do a one-day type thing. If it all works out, and I know it's going to be amazing for anybody who comes, and so we're probably looking maybe July-ish sometime in that around that time to have them here. So just really looking forward to that, and just thank you all for your prayers and everything while I was over there both times, the first time with JP and Paul, and then the second time just myself. But yeah, awesome stuff.
Wow, I just wanted to touch base. Kids, you want to come back up here? The kids that are in here, that you're listening. Man, they're doing a wonderful job. Each pass one to each of you guys that are here. Come up here quick. You guys are doing great. One each. One each. You guys are doing good. Rewarder of those who diligently seek him. I love rewards. God, our God is a faithful rewarder. No, one each. One each. One each. Oh, she doesn't.
Yeah. She had two and then three.
Abigail, how many you got? She have one, Abigail? Okay, awesome. Good. There you go. All right. I want to touch on Uganda. One of the things that when we were in Uganda, we were listening to this song. You guys hear the song Waymaker that the kids sang? When we were there, I was moved so much by their worship. Uganda is one of the poorest countries in Africa. And it's but it's named, what is it named, Jake? Is it a jewel? The pearl. And I said, what is so precious about the poorest nation in Africa? But when I heard the sound, and if you can hear the sound, make sure your name's on there, I heard the sound. And when they sang Waymaker, I said, that's the song. Sure. But it's the song. And then one thing about mission trips and going, I said, man, I want us to capture the sound. I want us to capture whatever is over there to bring here. And you know what they're hungry for over there? Teaching. Man, they want teaching so much. So you impart teaching and they love it so much. And then I was getting impartation of worship and praise. And they would praise and worship and dance and sing. They would start at 6 o'clock at night in the evening. And they say, we're going to do an all-night worship session. And I would be like, wow. Jenny, we lasted. How long did we last? 11 o'clock, so, but we had jet lag and it was all that. So we were, man, they danced. Boy, they know how to do the dance thing. Yeah, there we go. There I am. That's Vincent. Yeah, look at that. Oh, man, gee. You know, Jenny went up there, and they really like it when the pastors do something. You know what I mean? The pastors, you know, just, you know. But they go, come up here. So I was up there, and I was doing it. But then Jenny was here, and Jenny gets up there, and there's, whatever, 1,000 kids. And Jenny starts doing something. She's going, woo! She starts dancing, you know, doing her thing. And all the people, the kids just scream. The loudest scream is like, ah! And I just go, whoa! And then just, she totally showed me up. Of course you would. It was awesome. I did not want to go to Africa. I'm just going to say it. I didn't really want to go to Africa. But I'll tell you this. It was one of the greatest words I have ever gotten from my children. And that was one of my biggest concerns about leaving was my children. And I got one of the best words. Jenny was, it was just super, supernatural power. I was so touched there. And I took something and we gave something. And we made a connection there and we're still in connection with them. It's just a fantastic trip. Another thing we went and we did this year was a tent, the church tent. Was put right on the main show at the fair this year. We got to put it in a sweet spot and as a testimony to so many. And we had the privilege of doing ministry there. And it was the first time we teamed up with so many churches to make that happen. And I really believe God's doing a move in that area in the church. But Jenny and I were able to minister and bring a couple of people to the Lord. But it was just such a sweet, sweet spirit in that place. It was fantastic. So this year has been a tough year for a lot of people. We've gone through probably quite a few losses. I mean, Sandy was just telling me 8 funerals she's been to this year. It's a lot of them. And one thing that I get when I think about funerals is I remember. I remember people, and it's so powerful to remember just, you know, memories. And not that we're stuck in the past, but we celebrate the beauty of the people that have gone before us. And this year, there's been a few. I know we know Adam. Adam's passed away this year. We had Lynn just recently just passed away. And one of Sue, the daughter. You know, Sue was one of the first worship people that I saw here in this church when I first came here. Sue was an inspiration to me. Joel, you're an inspiration to me. And the worship, her worship was beautiful, probably, and it's still beautiful. She's up there where she just loves worship, and I know that. And she touched our hearts. And I think there's something that goes on in the heart when we think about how little our time is here and that we have time to celebrate one another. And we don't have all the time in the world, but it's just important. And I just want to remember those. Sue, Adam, Lynn, Connie, Connie Nelson, anybody else, you guys, you just really remember. And then as Jake was, I was talking to Jake, and I'm Jake, who's going to come up after me. He was talking about a reformation of love. And I don't want any issue to be so big that I begin to withhold love for one another, a brotherly love. That God's really bringing a humility. When someone passes away, it's a humbling thought, it's a celebration, but it's a realistic place that we go, you know what? We're not here forever. We're not going to be here forever, guys. And the time that we have left, let's focus on what really matters. And I know we're going to have an opportunity again this Saturday with Lynn, but to celebrate life and what it's about. So I'm glad we're all here tonight to celebrate the new year. Pastor Jake, would you please come and share? I know we had an amazing conference. I know for one have been totally blown away by this last conference. I'm still trying to absorb it all. I just recommend, again, I love the website and the app that we can go to and catch on that so we can get all those things back. But Pastor Jake, would you please?
Hallelujah. Yes. Well, praise the Lord. New Year's 2020. I remember in 1988, we had 88 reasons why the rapture was going to happen in 1988. And so we went another 20-some years without the rapture. But they did write another book and made some money on it. It was 89 reasons why Jesus was going to come back in 1989. So in thought, Jesus has come back, probably in our minds and our lives. He walked out of the Bible and into our lives the very, very first time, and he's been there ever since. And I think 2019, if anything, has been a very, very difficult year for us as a family and then as a church family, as many people that had passed, and just the battle that they had to go through fighting cancer. Tom, you know the battle of fighting it and then having the victory in it. And we have victory in both, on both sides, whether it be on the side where we go and we spend eternity with Jesus, or we fight the good fight and get to victory and can stick around and teach Bible study every morning to a bunch of guys that you've changed their lives. So everything is A-plus in the kingdom of God. And I was getting that at this last conference when Laith was talking about an A-plus. For some reason, when he said, well, you already got an A-plus. And when I heard that, I was thinking about my days of schooling as I was in school. And boy, I tell you what, if a teacher would have come up and told me that even before I took the test that I got an A+, I wouldn't mind skipping the test, but I'd feel real good about getting an A+. And I was thinking about that. I think if someone gave me an A+, I'd start searching out, for one thing, why did I get an A+? And then I'd search out the person that gave me the A+, and I would think very highly of that person. And so I think when we realize what grace has done in our lives, you know, it's not by works of righteousness, it's not by all of the things that we can accomplish, and it's difficult not to do that. But we had a real teaching when Leif came here, and you know what, it's not anything that Christians don't know. It's kind of like, you know, the scripture where it says, walk in the spirit so you don't fulfill the lust of the flesh, okay? There's one chair there. If you walk in the spirit, you're in chair one. And if you walk in the flesh, you could be in chair three or two, a soulish existence as a Christian going to heaven but no victory. You know, never having the victory, just, you know, well, I'm going to heaven. When I get on the other side, it's going to be cool. And we're always living for the other side instead of living in chair number one, where we have the victory here on the earth now. And I was thinking about how could that be, because when I watch the news and going through the news channels, and whether it be, you know, CNN or Fox News or other news agencies, I find out that there's not a lot of good news that they're really giving you. And a lot of this coming out of chair two, and maybe even chair three. And if you can catch, I don't know if you, not everyone caught this, but chair one was a chair where you trusted totally in God. You trusted without your understanding, you trusted in God. Chair two was a soulish area where your mind, your will, and your emotions were always being shuffled back and forth. And chair three was you were in the world. Well, we know that our soul, God's wanting to win our souls, okay? But our soul needs to be one. It can't rule. If it rules, then chair one is not really in existence. And as Christians, we go from chair, I think about it, I can go to chair one and I can sit there for maybe 2 days and I feel pretty good. Or if I'm in church, I feel pretty good. But if I'm on the job site and something goes wrong, then I am challenged to go down to chair two again and try to figure it out, frustrated and everything else, instead of going chair one saying, no problem, we're gonna get through this, we're gonna settle it, it's gonna be good, don't freak out. And I think that that's where we're at. And I just had a word from Dave. I asked him, because when he left here, we financed him so that he could go to Pakistan. And he was speaking to 120,000 people in Pakistan. And I did get a report that he got sick when he was in Pakistan. So the enemy was fighting him big time. But they had the conference. It was fantastic. And he was invited to go and be with the president of Pakistan. I said, "What? I mean, you know, what God's doing in this world that we live in, you just never know where you're going to be or someone that you know is going to be so close to people that are running governments." And in fact, Dave Wagner just got back this weekend, and he was at Vice President Pence's home for a wedding that he knew this guy married President or Vice President Pence's daughter. So here, Dave and Molly's there. They're all dressed up, and they're in Washington going to their wedding. Isn't it something? You never know where you're going to end up. You never know how powerful God is and what He's going to do in these days ahead. And you know what? You don't want to go in chair one, or chair two, I should say. You won't go. You know, like Tom said, I don't want to go to Africa, but actually chair one experience, you should go to Africa. It's going to be a great time. You know, but it's that battle, isn't it? It's, well, my suggestion, everyone goes on a mission trip every year, at least one mission trip every year, gets you out of comfort zone, keep you in thinking about chair one, you know, a world that is needing the light of God and it's on the inside of you. So that's a real challenge. We went to Africa. Did it make a difference? Well, absolutely made a difference. We had 700 to 800 women and daughters they were preached at. They were, it was a fantastic time, just breakthrough. I think we had something like with the ladies, it was something like 200. I don't know how many people gave their lives to Christ, but the one day, 200 people come up for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I don't know how many people got baptized because it was just kind of like a free-for-all. God was just starting moving a free-for-all in the Holy Ghost. And I really believe that that's where God's at right now. He's wanting us to move in the Holy Ghost. And the same thing happened with the young people. And I want to say that from Northern Minnesota and the United Team International, all of the food that was supplied for them for those 2 weeks came out of this place. Not just the church here, but in different places, whether it was Detroit Lakes, whether it was our gang up on the northern run-up in Canada and Bedette area. There's just $6,500 fed them for them 2 weeks. It was powerful. And it wasn't just a little, Tom was in the kitchen. It wasn't just a little bowl of rice, man. It was a meal. So I just think, you know, sometimes we kind of minimize what's going on, but it's a big world that's needing Jesus, and it's happening. It's happening. So I just really encourage, personally, I say at Adam's celebration of life, I said I should have just walked around with him and forgot about monkeying around with the church and walked around with him. I would have influenced more people walking with him than I do with the church. And maybe I was joking on that, but sometimes you see a person's life and how they've influenced other people, and that one person makes a difference. And Adam made a difference in a lot of people's lives, and we had a chance to preach the gospel here. I don't, you know, we had something like 350 people here. We filled her up, and down in Gary, Minnesota, this last Monday, Lyle Simonson left the earth to go to heaven, and the whole church in Gary was plumb full. Okay, and you'd say, well, you know what? That was a one-time deal. I know it was a one-time deal, but every person in Gary and that surrounding area, they loved Lyle Simonson. And I never heard the gospel preached as good as the gospel was preached at that funeral for Lyle, or celebration of life for Lyle, to the people that were in Gary, Minnesota. They heard a born again. If you weren't born again after Norman got done with you, I mean, you had earmuffs on or something. You know, it was powerful. And so what's going on in the earth, I really believe that God is bringing forth the kingdom of God. He's not bringing forth a church or one church or this church or that church. He's bringing forth the kingdom of God. And I'm real excited about what we're going to do in the future. Whatever that is, I hope it includes you. Because, I mean, there's exciting times ahead. And, you know, I do want to remind, of course, we love our city, but it's bigger than the city. It's bigger than the city. And maybe if we seen it was bigger than the city and got out of the city maybe for one week, it'll give you a little bit more appreciation for the city, right? Hallelujah. And so I think that's what's going on. Pakistan, we've got a brother over there now. We're ordaining 60 ministers in May into United Team International in Pakistan. We've never even been there. Weird deal. And Africa is wide open. William didn't talk about man of God. In fact, he's going to, I'm prophetically speaking to William right now. You are the man of God, and you will be the man of God preaching the Man of God series in this church and other places in northern Minnesota and beyond. And that's who you are. And I see the destiny in you, and I release the Holy Spirit of the living God to just stir you. I mean, get on fire, brother, and then become a fireplace. And we'll bring the logs. We'll be able to bring the logs, making it a home. So anyway, 2020 is going to be a fantastic year. 2019, it's my years of tears. And that's pretty much where my whole life has been, still is. I had, after Chad and myself got done in Island Park, when we left, well, we cried for a week, and it felt so good to cry. We didn't want to be anywhere else. And I don't know if you can even understand that. But the depth of the cry, I really believe it's the Father for His Son. I really believe that God cries for His sons and daughters. I believe in Him right now. He doesn't want me to be a hard old, hard head Norwegian that you can't get to. God wants to break us. God wants to release something in us that we can't release without maximum brokenness. And you know, I don't pray for crying and stuff like that. I've never liked crying. Do not kiss me. I do not like being kissed. But you know what? I could take a kiss now, and I can cry. But the cry now is from the depth of my heart, and I don't know if it isn't from the depth of his heart. And I wonder if he's not trying to get a hold of us, how he feels about the whole situation, how he feels about abortion, how he's feeling about the righteousness that is not so righteous on the earth today. And I believe that the baptism of love is coming, and Leif Hedlund is going to be, how do we ever meet a guy like Leif that's, I mean, it's like we'd never do it in a thousand years without contacts from above. So, man, get ready for 2020. It's a powerful time. We fought the devil in every which way, and we won. Amen. We're not defeated. We're going forth. Mal Manning would have been here today, but he had to go down and get a little checkup to get a praise report on what's going on in his body. And Lynn is in heaven tonight, rejoicing with the thousand angels. I mean, you cannot win. You cannot win against us. You'll never win against us. And the only enemy that is in and around, it's us that makes things slow down or stop. Amen? We can't be our own worst enemy. And I think that's where chair one, spirit. I'm in the spirit. Now, do I always stay in the spirit? No. This afternoon, I got in the flesh, and you know, I mean, I don't like it. And to the place where you almost want to stay there because you feel like you went so far back. But you know, you only do it for about 5 minutes. Couldn't you stand up and go back to chair one and, you know, sit on down? And your condemnation and not being good enough and all these things, man, we need to kill that dog. That thing should not live. It's a terrible deal. So I encourage you to walk in the Spirit. And if you don't, if you fall, get up, walk back, sit down in chair one, because that's where you're going to get the revelation. That's where things are going to send your kids on mission trips, even design mission trips. There are so many things that are going on. I appreciate Tom and Jen with all the youth stuff and stuff that's going on. I appreciate everyone doing things and stuff. But there's something, as William has stepped out and did something, there's something individually marked for your life. And I don't know what that is, but if you're feeling the finger of God, and there's another thing, if God doesn't say it, then why do it? I mean, I'm talking to you personally. If God doesn't say it, why do it? You know, Linda, you got a word of the Lord. Took you 20 years to get there, and that's cool, but you should have probably went year after you heard the word. And I'm not down on you. Like I said, I got a sign out here. It took me nine years to get that back of the sign painted. And, you know, so I think maybe God's challenging us to be obedient. Be obedient right now. Do what you need to do, and you'll see the fruits of your labor, huh? So, I hate it when I think that I lost something. But, you know, my loss is his gain. And heaven only become better because Adam passed from here to there. Now, I don't like it for some reason. Or I do, I don't even know. When I cry, I'm not necessarily sad. It's just that it just starts coming. It just kind of takes over and you just go, especially when I'm by myself. In the loader, I get tore up big time. So watch out when I'm driving with the loader. Stay away. Left or right, you could get run over. So anyhow, I love you guys. Love all the work and labors that you put in and all the finances that have been given. This conference could not be pulled off without Community Church International hosting it, many times definitely financing it. The work that goes on is incredible. The buildings and the remodeling and crazy stuff that we do. And you know, if you're a part of that, man, that's the greatest thing that you can do, huh? You know, I mean, I got a business. Well, whose business is it? It's my business. Who takes care of it? I do. Hallelujah. So I'm just asking and said, well, if you got a business in God and he's called you to destiny, whose business is it? It's your business. Who told you that? God did. Well, then take care of your business. Amen. And that's always, you know, I'm trying to be real nice and straightforward. But I think there's a challenging time that's coming to us. And Chad, you got a song going, but I'm going to read a word of the Lord from Dave Wagner for the church. I'm not reading the one. I do have two words, but this one is not quite as extensive, except it's to the church. Let's see. Where do I go? How do I get there? Okay. I'm not, okay. Oh, yeah. Okay. Dave Wagner, it said, amazing. He got a little sick, but pressed through. Met with the president of Kashmir and was given the Ambassador of Peace Award in Pakistan. So that was one of the words that, that's pretty cool, isn't it? You know, I like the A+, but you know, Ambassador of Peace Award isn't a bad deal either. Well, I'm not quite for sure where he sent that to. Let's see. Okay, Jeff found my hitch. All right, it wasn't there. Thanks, Jeff, appreciate that. Oh, you know what? It was. I like that. Well, I tell you what, I just will read some of the, lift up your eyes to heaven and keep your eyes fixed upon me as I show you great and mighty things you have never known or seen before. I am setting love as the backdrop of the year ahead. My grace is about to outshine the darkness of night, and my mercy is about to break through like the dawn. Truth and righteousness are about to be put on full display as I tip the scales. Justice will prevail. Psalms 89:14. Righteousness and justice are the foundations of your throne. Mercy and truth go before your face. Stand your ground. Do not turn back. Do not retreat. And do not give up. Your time has come, so press in and press onward, for the kingdom of darkness is about ready to collapse. The enemy is losing his footing as I bring about a holy reset and alignment in the earth. Heads are about to roll as the sword of the Spirit and truth decapitize the political and religious spirit that has blinded, confused, controlled, corrupted churches, governments, people. Don't be afraid. Be bold. As righteousness increases, so does boldness. Proverbs 28:1. The wicked. It says flesh, but I don't think that's with no pursuit. The wicked. What is the scripture? Well, anyway. It doesn't stop, but the righteous is as bold as a lion. Guard your heart, watch your words. Do not let the news of the day callous your heart or change your perception of what I am doing in the earth. Fill your heart and mouth with scripture and changing. I am flipping and I'm changing the script and changing the narrative. This new season, my word and my promise also prevails. Do not give place to the enemy. I invite you to be unoffendable. Be quiet or be quick to forgive. in all things pursue love, for it does not fail, and it does not or falter or fail. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Be intentional. There is nothing coincidental or accidental in the kingdom. You're about to get caught up in the intentionalness of heaven. I am desiring that you know both the intentions and context of my heart. I am doing things on purpose and with great preciseness in this season. The blueprint for this new year are being released in great detail. Hallelujah. The gift of the word of wisdom is about to increase for the church, business, and government. A fresh Joseph and Daniel type anointing is being released to know how to both dream and interpret dreams. The discernment and vivid vision is coming upon many so that you may know how to see clearly in the dark. Stand courageous with your friends and be fearless even in the presence of your enemies. Angels are standing at attention. They are waiting to respond to the decree of heaven and carry out the word of the Lord. I am bringing my people from potential to promise and from preparation to possession. The appointed time and the acceptable year has come. Then the secret was revealed to Daniel in the night vision. So Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel answered and said, "Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his, and he changes the times and the season. He removes kings, he gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding." Well, anyway, there's some more scripture and some more prophetic stuff there that could fill your year up pretty quickly. It's funny, about 5 minutes of prophetic, and I read daily. My daily reading's about 20 minutes a day to get through the Bible in 1 year. And this is 5 minutes, and it baffles my mind what God is speaking. So let's go into the new year expecting all of this prophetic stuff to hit us. Guys, why don't you take it away?